Warning Whispers by A.M. Burridge. Beach and Dolby were hanged at the county jail at 8 o'clock on a Thursday morning, and the village, if it made somewhat more than a 9 days' wonder of the crime, slowly reassumed its normal air of sleepiness. Indeed, as Beach and Dolby were not natives but casual labourers who had strayed thither from the teeming ports some 30 miles distant, only one or two of the villagers were closely concerned with the tragedy. One of them was Martha Speed, the mother of the poor murdered girl. John Archelaus Hoskins was probably the person most closely and lastingly affected. For one thing, he was the hero of the hour, and for another, he was one of the very few to whom good had been blown by this particular ill wind. It was his evidence which had tied the nooses around the necks of Messrs. Beach and Dolby, and it was he, or rather his mother, who received the reward of £100, which had been perhaps a little too hastily offered. At the time, he was a very promising boy of 8. Nothing could shake young Hoskins's testimony. Certainly the two barristers could neither bully him nor cast a doubt upon his word. He was clear, cool, intelligent, and his little piping voice penetrated to the farthest corner of the hushed court. As he was passing Tumbledown Barn, he had heard two men coming out, and had hidden behind the opposite hedge until they were gone. He had hidden because he had been poaching trout in Squire Pollard's stream, and he didn't know who was coming. He recognised Beach by the black patch he wore over his left eye, and Dolby by his stoop and slight lameness. He had seen the two men dabble their hands in a ditch not 20 yards from where he was hiding, and heard one say, he didn't know which, "You'll have to burn that coat of yourn." Small wonder, in the circumstances, that John Archelaus Hoskins, the orphan son of a butcher's assistant, became the hero of his native village. An older head than his might easily have been turned, for there was not a man, woman, or child but made much of him. In a community of thickwits, his precocious intelligence shone like a candle flame in a dark room. 3 days after the trial, old Squire Pollard came plodding down the village street on a cob which looked ridiculously small for him. He was elderly, a childless widower, and something of an eccentric. It pleased him to appear in public, looking like a small farmer on the verge of bankruptcy, but he was well known to have more money than he could conveniently spend. Narrow and fanatical in his religious views, he was also hard and mean in 9/10 of his dealings, but indulged now and then in surprising bursts of generosity. Outside Mrs. Hoskins's cottage, he dismounted, and was received by the smirking matron, who dusted a chair for him in the front room and fussed around him like a distracted hen.
"Well, Mrs. Hoskins," said he, "all the excitement over now, eh? Settling down again to ordinary everyday life? Excitement bad for all of us. How's the boy?" "Oh, he's at school, sir," said Mrs. Hoskins. "He's a little bit excited, like, but we can't expect old heads on young shoulders, can we, sir?"
The squire nodded.
"He's a smart lad for his age," he said thoughtfully. "Aye, he is that, sir. He's the apple of his mother's eye. You wouldn't believe what a good boy he is." "I have an idea he'd been poaching in my stream when he saw those two miscreants." "Ah, sir, if I'd only known that at the time. But we can't expect old heads on young shoulders, as I said before, can we, sir? And if he hadn't been fishing that evening..."
Squire Pollard nodded again.
"Just so. Poaching's wrong, though. Wicked. Stealing. Still, we'll say no more about that. Thank you, sir. The poor little man's been punished enough already. He can't get out of his head the way them two villains scowled at him while he was giving evidence against them. He had a nightmare about it last night. I'm sure, sir, if they could do him a mischief, they would."
The squire smiled wryly.
"Well, they'll never be able to hurt young John or anybody else. Make him understand that. When do you expect him back from school, Mrs. Hoskins?" "In about..."